Word up, Word of Mouth Wednesday. This is the Word of Mouth Wednesday. We are here for the end of this is the end of April, or no, the end of March, I should say. March 30th, almost April, 2011. My name's Daniel Libby, and thank you for joining us on the Word of Mouth Wednesday for another episode of the Word of Mouth Wednesday. And joining us on the show tonight, we're going to be talking about, well, the G20 Exposed and what's going on with local activism and local politics. And Derek Sobral is joining us back in the studio as a guest host. Also joining us as a guest is David Kahn, who's going to speak about what he thinks about what's been going on here locally. And then also, we're going to be playing, I've got an interview here recorded to end off our Hidden from History, the month of Hidden from History, March 2011. Interview with Kevin Annett when he was on campus, right near Ryerson campus. He was here for an event a few days ago. Also, Toge Tote of Ganagoda is also going to be on that clip. Hopefully we'll get some time to play it later. And we've got more information, more notes, and more content from rallies and what's been going on. Why don't we just start off this episode of the Word of Mouth Wednesday, though, with a quick clip here. This will be the first clip we play of the show, and this is a clip of what's been going on, what we can expect for Ontario, and what happened when the budget was released yesterday. Here is a bit of Dwight Duncan's speech here of Ontario, and stay tuned.
It's growing. Fait les entreprises investissent.
The fact is, businesses are investing and creating jobs.
More and more people who lost their jobs during the recession are now finding work. Ontario is turning the corner to a better tomorrow. L'Ontario remonte la pente vers un avenir meilleur.
Ontario is turning the corner to a better tomorrow.
The bill for the future is working. Those are the facts.
Right.
Now, we need to face another fact confronting all governments, the reality of slower global economic growth and a deficit. We need to move forward by making the same kinds of prudent, balanced choices we have made in the past. So I am introducing a budget that supports job creation. It will continue the necessary work we have already undertaken to eliminate the deficit. At the same time, we choose to protect education. We are choosing to protect our children's schools and make room for all 4- and 5-year-olds in full-day kindergarten. Mr. Speaker, it is not a frill.
Word up, Word of Mouth Wednesday. We're back here on the show, and joining us in the studio, we've got some guests here. We've got Derek Sobral, and we've got David Kahn, who's going to be talking about, I guess we got a few things to talk about because so much has been going on, and I'd like to welcome you guys. Hey, how's it going?
Hey, guys. Nice to be here. Pleasure to be here, Daniel, with 88.1 CKLN, live at Ryerson University. 10 months later, and we're still here. We're calling for a full public inquiry into the G20 Toronto Summit. And we're just speaking the truth, getting out the information to the general public, because we want to get them informed and educated. And this is election time, and people need to be politically active. So we're just trying to get out some knowledge, because knowledge is power, right?
For real, for real. Yeah, and I'd also like to welcome David Kahn to the show today as well. David, how's it going?
I'm doing okay. I'm just hoping I can get some things out there.
Nice. And David, are you involved with any movements here in Toronto? I know I've seen you at some of the protests. What are you up to?
Well, I've been to most of the protests here. The group, the movement that I represent is called the Anti-Injustice Movement. It's a global movement. It's not specifically for Toronto. But we considered what happened at the G20 to be an injustice, and we're backing any action that brings accountability.
For real, for real. Yeah, and that's what we're wondering about, because we've got a lot of elections going on. We've got the federal election going on right now, and we've got a provincial one coming up in the fall. We just heard from the finance minister there. What are your thoughts on the topic of the G20 becoming a political issue? Do you think that the G20 of 2010 the incident that took place here in Toronto. Is that going to be an election issue at all, or a political issue? Or is it? Do you guys think?
Yeah, I think it should be on the table because, I mean, we're looking for full accountability into the actions that took place. We had the most massive violations of charter rights in the history of this country. We had the most mass arrests in Canadian history as well. We had laws that were enacted that were deemed illegal from the Ontario Ombudsman. There was a lot of rules and regulations that were passed that were contrary to the Canadian Constitution. And there was badges that were worn from officers. There was over 100 officers that weren't accountable because they removed their name badges. And there's just so many unanswered questions. So in our democracy, we got to bring these to the forefront. And we have unanswered questions. Just for the record, I was not a protester or an activist before G20, and I wouldn't consider myself a protester. I've become a filmmaker because of what I witnessed at the G20 summit. And I am an activist now because I was put into this position because of what I witnessed. And I think it's just important to speak out because we are going through a lot of changes in this country. This is election time. We just saw the contempt of Parliament. That was the first time that ever happened in the history of Canada as well, in the Commonwealth. And there's a lot of scandals and corruption allegations that are happening with the Harper government. And we've seen the rebranding of the government of Canada, be renamed the Harper government. So when all these things are coming out, we have to be vocal. We have to speak about the facts. And we have to give people the information so they can make educated decisions on when they do go to the polls.
For real, yeah. And that's why, you know, it's good to be talking about this, thinking about this. And it was good to see you guys out a few nights ago. And this is something I wanted to mention because, you know, people have been thinking about the G20 since it happened. And this is many months ago now. What we're into is a phase where it is a plan for the end of June 2011. We're now, you know, we're close to a one-year anniversary. What did you guys think about the meeting that took place a few nights ago? It was at OISE U of T area. About the G20 and the planning for a one-year anniversary.
Yeah, that took place at the University of Toronto, and we had a great turnout. There was over 60 people there, just people that were concerned about their democracy and just people calling for accountability and what they can do for the one-year anniversary to make it an event that can bring the public into it. And we're advocating peace, and we're advocating just speaking up for what happened for all the people that had their rights violated. So I think it's important that we come together and we do make it like a movement as far as getting to the bottom of what happened. So, I mean, we want to have a march. We want to have people that have their freedom of speech because at Queen's Park, there was a designated free speech zone and that was shut down, essentially, because it was an illegal, I guess, assembly deemed by the security forces at G20. So they didn't get that right to speak freely at the Queen's Park. So I think we need to reenact the free speech. And a lot of questions still have not been answered. And we're just trying to advocate political participation. And I think it's going to be a monumental thing to have a one-year anniversary and to have everybody be connected and to have people contribute. So that's why we have these events, so people can come together and discuss ideas and what we can do to look at the solutions to move forward into our country. This is Canada, and we got to keep it free and democratic.
For real, yeah. And David Kahn, are you looking forward to the anniversary? Are you looking for? Yeah, I guess. What were your thoughts on this meeting that took place a few days ago?
Well, I think it's important that the country doesn't forget what happened a year ago come that weekend. And I feel it's important, too, that people realize what really happened. It wasn't just that a bunch of crazy people were just protesting and smashing things, and then the police came and broke it up and arrested people. It wasn't that at all. And we need to let people know that they were honest, good, hard-working people that were out there trying to have their voices heard in a peaceful manner. And when the trouble did go down, it had nothing to do with the protest, the peaceful protesters. They were allowed to rampage for over an hour, as far as I know. Nothing was done to stop them, even though they spent all of this money here, apparently in security, for that reason. And the cars were left burning for too long of a time. It burnt signs on Steve's music store and things.
Right.
And I believe that that was very calculated on the part of the police, and it was meant to try and justify all this money that they spent simply to have these media and photo ops of all this riotous behavior and so on, and the media bought it. And I believe it's up to us now as citizens to try and counteract that negative image, the stereotype that's been put in protesters. I mean, I'm not a youth. I don't have anything that would make people feel threatened. I don't wear black. I don't cover my head. I don't hide my identity when I go out and protest. And I use my real name. I just believe that there is a problem where politicians are ordering police to put down political dissent. And that alone is worth fighting against.
For real, yeah. And we're speaking here on the Word of Mouth Wednesday. We're talking about a lot of issues, talking about the G20, and talking about a meeting that just recently took place, planning for a one-year anniversary of the G20 from the activist point of view, you know, a people's anniversary. And that's going to be taking place, you know, roughly the same weekend of when the G20 took place last year, the end of June 2010. This is going to be the end of June 2011. Why don't I just throw it to an audio clip here from that very event, the G20 one-year anniversary. After the meeting, I had a few minutes. I spoke with John Allen, and you're going to hear a bit of that, and then we'll be back with David and Derek here in the studio. We'll be right back.
Scrap what I said. One mind.
One mind. That's it. That's the power. Unity, strength, peace. One mind, that's strength, and there's peace.
No war with that.
Right.
Today is about bringing people together to help organize a grassroots movement in favor of social justice, progress, and basically our civil liberties and rights. We obviously experienced something traumatizing last year in the face of, you know, basically the police acting in the name of the elite, who shut down downtown Toronto as if it was some sort of serfdom, and we were the serfs, the peasants outside of their castle, you know, at the wall, you know, whatever. Anyway, I'm kind of being hyperbolic here, but you get the point. We're trying to bring people together to just try to help work with the rest of this pro-democracy, pro-civil liberty, pro-social justice movement that is sweeping the world, you know, and hopefully it takes off. June 24th, 25th, and 26th is going to be a day of unity, a day of non-compliance, of peaceful non-compliance in Toronto. We cannot forget the fact that in Egypt and in the Middle East right now, they're fighting for their lives, for democracy, and for their civil rights and their human rights. They did so peacefully in Egypt, even in the face of brutality that we cannot even imagine. But we got a taste of it. But we must remain peaceful to keep our movement legitimized. The thing is that the police acted as pawns of the state, not really knowing what they're doing. The police are generally good people. They protect us, generally speaking. That weekend, they were just following orders. But unfortunately, they were following orders from the state. We're trying to protect their position, the G20. And you know what? It's sad because the G20 represents the main organization in the world that has the ability to end oppression in the world. Why doesn't the G20 end oppression in this world? Why are our policies, you know, our foreign policies, our military and war policies, our imperialistic policies being written by corporations, right? And using the police against the people who are questioning that is not right. So anyway, we're just there to say, hey, listen, you know, we need a second thought. We need people to come out and say, listen, we don't want this. We need a better world. We don't need this war. So
for real, yeah. And I'm sure there's people wondering how they can get involved. Is there any connections or ways that people can get?
Yo, Facebook's the best way. You got to think Facebook. As much as people hate using Facebook because of the fact that, you know, our private information is being sold to corporations, it's also the reason the Egyptian Revolution happened. So we got to use that, spread the word. The first anniversary of the G20 in Toronto was a webpage that we're organizing around in Toronto. So if you can try to search for that, that's great. Ask your friends, spread the word. You know what? spread the word. Remember, don't forget, the word, the pen, is mightier than the sword. And Facebook represents a means of communicating with tons of people at once. And it's one of the nice things about globalization is that compression of space and time through communication. Facebook is a good tool for all of society. So it's got its good and it's got its bad. Use it for the good. And we encourage people to try to just spread the word, to come out. We need people to come out. If you know people, tell them to come on June 24th, 25th, and 26th in Toronto, Canada, please, and around the world if possible.
For real, yeah. Thanks a lot for your words. Do you feel like introducing yourself?
Oh, sorry. My name's John Allen. I'm just a community organizer. That's it.
Word up, Word of Mouth Wednesday. So that was John Allen. He was one of the people that was talking at the 1 year anniversary planning meeting. And then that was after the meeting. I recorded a few words with John Allen, and you heard John Allen there mention a bit about how that 1 year anniversary planning meeting came about. It seemed to have came about through Facebook, and that's what I was wondering with Derek and David here. What do you guys think about the movement online? I guess this digital activism and digital, you know, connections going on. What are your thoughts here on the online stuff?
Yeah, I think it's really important just to emphasize what John said is spread the word. And I mean, online, we can post articles, we can post videos. We have a lot of independent documentary makers and radio show hosts and community organizations. So it's just great when we all come together and we speak about the truth and we look for solutions into what happened at the G20. So if I would recommend people go on Facebook and they can type in 1 year anniversary, Toronto G20. And the page should pop up. You can just type in 1 year anniversary G20 and the Facebook page should be there. And we just want people to be connected and to be informed of what our ideas are. We want everybody to get involved and to be a part of this democracy. Like, this is the future of this country. And this is such a vital time. I mean, we're going through this political agenda, this conservative takeover. Really, it was. And it's happening in Toronto. We see the privatization of corporations going into the sectors like the TTC and housing. And there's just so much stuff going on. So, I mean, we're going to see more people get repressed. You know, it's not about repression. It's about evolution. It's about really waking up to what's happening in our societies. You know, we see gas prices going up and food prices, and we're really being clamped down on all parts. So I think it's just really important. And it's like there's probably about 250 people online right now, and we're just building it. We have some really good, intelligent people that are moderators, and we just want all voices to be connected.
Right, right. And one way, you know, that people are being connected is definitely through actions. And we're going to talk about what's going to be taking place this Saturday. There's an action, you know, about this still trying to raise the awareness on the G20. But, you know, there was stuff going on last Saturday. Actually, I was met up with Derek and we were around downtown with some of the Press for Truth guys putting up some Into the Flyer posters, doing some postering. And then, you know, there were some more events there. I think there was a BDS campaign event down near King and Bay. What I wanted to ask you guys about, though, was a protest that took place a few weeks ago that I wasn't able to make it to, but I think both of you guys were there, was a protest that was about police brutality. And it took it was Ontario Coalition Against Poverty were some of the organizers of it. And I think it was near one of the downtown precincts. But I guess maybe if you guys could tell us more, I guess what was this? What was the protest? And what was your experience there?
Well, I've been at a couple of protests. I started a couple at the Toronto police headquarters since in December, and we've been having it every Saturday. It was a very small thing. And then afterwards, we kind of got a little bigger, and we moved it down to Dundas Square on March 5th, and we had a larger one. And then I wanted to attend the rally, the international rally, that they always have. It's like the 15th anniversary for against police brutality. And as I was leaving my home about 4:30 that afternoon, and walking down on the sidewalk, two officers in uniform but without badges or numbers came up on both sides of me and told me to step into a gray vehicle that was pulling up alongside us.
Whoa.
And I was put in the back seat between two officers, and I was asked if I was only told two things: get into the car and where's my phone. So I give them my phone, and one of the officers in the front seat in the passenger side, he took my phone with latex gloves on, and he connected it to some what looked like a laptop in the front seat, and I don't know whether he downloaded thing or anything or uploaded stuff, but he had it for about 20 minutes, and then he returned it to me, and they kept me in the car until about almost 5:30, almost an hour. And they didn't say anything to me. I kept asking for their ID and whether I was under arrest, whether I was detained. They just kind of give me dirty looks. And eventually I figured I should just shut up. So by the time I got out of that car and got up to the rally, I couldn't make it until it was almost to the end of the rally. By the time I caught up with them. And I didn't feel intimidated, but I was angry that I was targeted.
Right. So how shocking was the targeting? Like, when the way you described it is almost like the police came out of nowhere when you're walking out of your house. Like, was there any warning? Were you how surprised were you that this whole thing happened?
Well, I was shocked because number one, they weren't wearing their name tags, and they didn't want to identify themselves. They said nothing to me other than get in the car and where's your phone. And I was given no reason why I was being detained for almost an hour. And I believe they were trying to intimidate me. Actually, it just made me angry.
For real, yeah, that's what it sounds like. Derek, what are your thoughts on this rally? Because I know you were there. What did you see happen there? What are your memories?
Yeah, you know, Globe Media, they did a piece, and there was a sniper gun on the roof, and that got a lot of publicity because, I mean, there was probably a group of about 50 to maybe 70 people, just a small rally in front of the headquarters of the 51 Division, I believe. And, I mean, just the heavy-handedness of the amount of police officers that were there were overwhelming. And, I mean, we're just asking for accountability and transparency and just a better policing system for our cities. And, yeah, we're against police brutality when people are assaulted unlawfully and so forth. So, I mean, we have the right to speak up in a democratic society. We have the freedom of speech in this country, the freedom of press, and the freedom of assembly under the Canadian Charter of Rights and Freedoms. So when people come out, it's a united front, and it was peaceful. There was no violence or vandalism. I witnessed, I'd say, about 15 police vans, undercover Whoa. Police vans, and there was four officers per van. So to have, and probably about 20 horses and a walking presence of probably about 40 officers as well for the amount of about 50 protesters. Well, so there is an intimidation kind of tactic there, and it looks like they might have been just preparing for something that could have gone wrong. But, I mean, just to see that David went through that before he went to the event, and that does look like it's definitely intimidation. And we don't want to go towards the criminalization of dissent, but this is what's going on after G20. I mean, everybody's a suspect. They might think we're black bloc suspects or who knows what's going on, but we have peaceful means. We have voices, and we have concerns about the way our country is turning. You know, and it's like we have the right to speak up when things are going wrong in our country, when there's corruption at the highest levels of the government, when they're not accountable, when they spend $1 billion of taxpayers' money and they don't even want to have a public inquiry into our police system and what went wrong at G20. You know, I talk to a lot of great police officers. I have the highest respect. And this isn't against everyday police officers. This is about G20 accountability. But after the fact, we still see these intimidation tactics being taken place. And I had to go through it myself 2 months after G20. I was in front of my condo. I had 12 officers come after me for loitering in front of my condo. And they threatened to put me in a hospital, in a mental institution. Now, if anybody wants to go online, they can check that out. They can type it into YouTube. It's 12 Toronto police versus one activist. Like I said, I wasn't an activist before G20, but I started speaking out. I did an interview for CP24, and then 10 days later, I'm outside of my condo, and an officer comes up and assaults me, scared the shit out of me, And then basically I had to run for I had to go away for protection. So I went to the security guard and asked for assistance. And I mean, it was just overwhelming to go through that. And that's the reason why I ended up doing the movie, as a safety precaution and to get out the truth. I mean, once my rights were violated, then it got me really active, you know. So I think all we could do is just speak out and keep going, even if we're intimidated. It doesn't matter. I mean, it's so important right now that people come together and speak about the truth. And I mean, if people just realize that this can affect you and your future, if you lose your job or if you're at a rally for a union or for rights that were violated against women, against oppression, anything. I mean, Martin Luther King was a protester. You know what I mean? Like the greats, they were rallying for rights, civil rights. You know, we're still going through the same thing. You know, I thought we won this battle in the 60s, but it's coming back. So, I mean, it's important, and I just think people, if they go to see some of the movies that were produced, their eyes will open up to put them in the shoes of people that were there at the G20. And there's that one documentary that's an amazing view to see what happened. It's you can go to the CBC Fifth Estate website and just type in G20, and you should see the documentary that came out. I was used as a source, and I got a credit on the website, so that was I was more than happy to help them out with some footage. And I mean, any part that I can contribute to make a better police system, to make a better country, I'm gonna do that because I care. At the end of the day, you know, I'm a peaceful person. And it breaks my heart when I see the confidence being lost in our police system. And I mean, some people have lost confidence. They've been affected. They were jailed for over 24 hours, over 1,000 arrests. 950 of those arrests were just completely dropped. I mean, there was people at the University of Toronto sleeping, and they got woken up at gunpoint, and that was covered in the CBC Fifth Estate. And I mean, all those charges were dropped because the police didn't have a warrant. You know, so there are some problems, and it falls on the leadership. I don't blame officers, you know. I have respect for the majority of the police officers I talk to. And I mean, it's accountability issue. And I mean, they did label the movie that I produced, it's called Toronto G20 Exposed, they labeled it anti-police. And all I did all summer was try to hand out these movies to people, and I gave them away for free. I gave them to police officers, I gave them to media outlets. I just wanted to get the truth out. And I have a passion for doing the things that I do because I think it's so important that people step up and talk about things that we're concerned about. And that's all we got in this world is our free voices, you know? And we got to use it. And this is a point in history that it's so important to really make people aware of how this affects our future.
For real, yeah. That's why there's going to be another rally taking place this Saturday at the Yonge and Dundas Square. And last Saturday, we were out all around downtown trying to put up the posters into the fire, stickers and posters, flyers, trying to get them around downtown because this is a big premiere that's going to be taking place Friday, and on Friday night, April the 22nd, 2011, at the Bloor Cinema. And while we were down around King and Bay, there was a rally going on. It was sort of like a BDS Day of Action is what they called it. It was a Free Palestine kind of rally. And while we were putting up some posters, that we did get some audio from the rally. I'm just going to play a quick clip here, and we'll be right back on the Word of Mouth Wednesday.
With the Coalition Against Israeli Apartheid.
Okay, and what are you guys meeting here today?
Well, this is a rally to commemorate. It's the International BDS Day of Action, which is commemorating Palestinian Land Day. We're trying to spread awareness about the BDS campaign, and so we're here to have a demonstration.
How do you feel about the world these days?
I think optimistic about things, and I think that's why, you know, people come out to these kinds of things because they're hopeful and they think we can actually change stuff if we all work together.
So this is the origin of oppression. This is the origin of the colonial struggle, and this is where we as known as Legal and Martin Luther Solidarity Network, we're united with the Palestinian people because we are also under the attack of a fearless struggle, under oppressors from industries, from Canada, many mining companies, and other industries that are sponsored by North America. who constantly destroy and kill Palestinians, and not only that, but activists from mining communities. So we stand here in solidarity with the Palestinian people, people from communities from El Salvador, from Guatemala, from Papua New Guinea, from Tanzania. We all stand solidarity with the Palestinian people because we're against an imperialist struggle. We're for liberation for the Palestinians and liberation for all our people and all our communities. Most of you guys, we have some carnations in your hands, these red carnations. These are representing all our comrades who have fallen in the imperialist struggle against imperialism. This represents people from Tanzania, from Papua New Guinea, from Palestine.
Word up, Word of Mouth Wednesday. So those were just some of the just a bit of audio that took place on the weekend it was around near King and Bay. There was people, people protesting, there was flags, signs, and there was I think it was like a truck with speakers on it, some speeches going on. Derek, what did you think about this? Did you guys stay a while at that rally? Because I know I had to leave early. I checked out the Kevin Annan event, which is at U of T. So I left, it seemed like while the rally was starting. Did you stay around there?
We just kind of passed through pretty quickly. Had a couple conversations with some really good officers and just letting them know what's going on with the G20 stuff for the 1 year, just to keep them up to date. Because we want them to be connected with what we're doing too, and to be transparent. So we've gone to the headquarters and we've looked at march routes and just making it clear that this is a peaceful rally. We want to have musicians. We want to have people that didn't have their voice at G20 to speak about what happened to them and to share the information that needs to get to the public. So, I mean, we were doing a guerrilla marketing campaign with Press for Truth, and that went amazingly well. We went all across the city putting up posters and just spreading the word. And this movie, it looks like it's going to be historic. And, I mean, it's just been a pleasure to know other filmmakers and to know what they've done, their hard work. I mean, Dan Dix has actually made his own music mm-hmm. for the movie. And to see his talent and to see Stephen Davies and Brian Law and Dan Dix and what they're doing, I commend fellow independent media. And I mean, I just love to help out no matter what. It's just been a pleasure. So it's going to be April the 2nd, and April 22nd at 7 p.m. at the Bloor Cinema, and that's 506 Bloor Street West. And if you want to get tickets, you can go to the website pressfortruth.ca. And to order over the phone with your credit card, you can call the number 416-916-1696. And this should really be a major event in Toronto's history because, I mean, their filmmaking skills is they're extraordinary. Their past films, they've done United We Fall, and also there's another movie they did.
They did The Nation's Deathbed,
yeah.
Which was the original. That was an original movie in 2008, which exposed what happened in Montebello. This is why the Press for Truth guys, I think, theories or, trying to find the truth about what happened at the G20 because of what they saw, the tactics that were used by the security at Montebello in 2007 at the SPP rally. And that involved police officers infiltrating the protest, dressing as protesters. It's definitely a movie that we're hoping is going to, get to the truth, and that's why it's Press for Truth is making the movie. And we've got Derek and David still here in the studio, and both of you guys a few minutes ago talked about some intense stories that you've had since the G20 with this local police officers. And I was wondering for both of you guys, is there like any next steps you guys can take after you've had these kind of occurrences, or are you guys taking any other steps? Like, this seems like you're being intimidated by multiple officers, almost the way you guys described it. Is there any like things going on right now with any like complaint or?
Yeah, like I chose to put up the video from the security camera footage from what happened onto my YouTube channel, and it's since gotten 25,000 views. And I thought that was my best bet, is to get out the information and speak about what happened to me, and to give the general public an idea of what's happening in our city, you know, when people like activists are being targeted. And I mean, it was uncalled for, and I was intimidated. And I mean, sometimes we just have to speak the truth, you know, and we can't be in fear. We can't live in fear, and we can't be intimidated no matter what. And sometimes these kind of things happen, and I mean, it really does wake you up. And it scares you at first, but you got to keep going forward. And we just want solutions. I mean, I'm not going to be afraid to speak out in public and to use the freedom of the press and my freedom of speech. And I should never fear that in a democratic society. You know, like in these other countries, in Egypt and Libya, I mean, they're all fighting for rights too. They got a lot worse. And people say, well, don't you got it pretty good in Canada? Yeah, I mean, thank God we're grateful for the things we have in this country, but I mean, we still deserve better. And I mean, we can't just be complacent. And when things are done the wrong way, we have to ask questions and we have to get to the bottom of the truth. So I mean, I am in the process of filing a complaint with the OPID. And I mean, it is past the time. There's a six-month
window
right, that you can file a complaint. But I mean, I've since gotten a couple more intimidation episodes from that point, from that time, from individual officers. And
How about you, David? Are you?
No, I'm not planning to make any complaint. I just have a feeling it won't go anywhere. It'll just be a waste of my time. I'd rather put my efforts into helping organize rallies and things that would bring attention to what happened at the G20, you know. Mm-hmm. And it's not just what happened in the police's attitude towards people. It's that there seemed to be a war against youth. There seemed to be a war against people who are different from the mainstream police culture. I mean, if you don't look very clear, clean cut, you're targeted. You know, I feel that way anyways, because I have kids that age. You know, I'm 54 years old. I've got 4 kids. And I feel that they're targeted all the time. I'm with them. They get a lot of police attention, you know. And I just feel that the kids aren't really allowed to do anything. They're discredited. Every time they try to speak up, they're told that they get a job, you know, they're bums, they're this, they're that. And I just don't feel the kids are having a good shake. I mean, they have things to say and they have things to complain about that's happening, and it's falling in deaf ears, you know.
For
and,
real.
You know, that's just the way I feel.
Yeah, yeah, and that's why we got to promote the rally that's going to be taking place this Saturday, which is going to be April the 2nd. But first, I think it'd be good to promote the overall big rally that we've been talking about, actually a whole weekend of the G20 2011 memories, remembering what happened in 2010. It's going to be, I think, starting on the June the 24th, Saturday the 25th, and then the Sunday the 26th of June. Well, you know, so we're basically 3 months away. I guess, does it surprise you guys how soon this is going to be? 1 year?
No, it doesn't surprise me, because we haven't got a public inquiry. So I think we need to turn around the public kind of view on what these protesters were protesting against, and these organizers and activists. I mean, a lot of them, they just got shut down. So I mean, this is a time that we can reconstitute, and we can do it the right way. And I mean, to bring music into it and to have everybody come together and to be connected and to have our freedom of speech and to share stories and to get the public aware of how important this is, you know. I think it's so important. And I'm looking forward to it. I mean, this is something that has taken a large amount of my time for the last 10 months, and I've given it everything I've got. I produced the movie Toronto G20 Exposed, and everybody can go online to watch that for free. And you could really see what happened. It's TorontoG20Exposed.ca. That's the website. And I mean, it's gotten a lot of coverage. I've gotten it in the Toronto Star, the Toronto Sun. It was used as a source for the CBC Fifth Estate. And it's just, somebody had to get out the information. And a lot of the footage was firsthand accounts from people that were there at the G20. Like, a lot of us were there. I was there as, like, a pretty much like a filmmaker at the beginning, and I went down there to find out about the identification check, which came out to be illegal. So, I mean, when we have illegal laws being passed, I mean, it's a wake-up call for what's going on. And even if it was just a G20 summit, I mean, they shouldn't be passing illegal laws and violating charter rights. So, I mean, this could affect anybody, your grandfather, your father, your brother, your sister. I mean, if they were concerned about their democracy and they wanted to go out and be amongst other people, like-mindedness, and they were shut down and jailed, I mean, you'd care, you know? So you have to put yourself in other people's shoes. And this movie really puts it out there. And it's the first documentary on Toronto G20, so it is historic, you know? And, I mean, there's just more movies being produced now, and these other movies are just going to hit it out of the water because they've had a lot of time to do the research, and they got some amazing footage that we didn't get. And it just takes everybody coming together and keep on to do the radio shows and to keep on going to the rallies and to keep on making movies. I mean, we just got to keep speaking, and that's the most important thing.
For real, yeah. And shout-outs to Black Krishna. I think I heard you were on last week on the a special edition Word of Mouth Thursday with Black Krishna, Derek Soberall. You were you were on?
Yeah, I was on. Yeah, nice. It was awesome.
Awesome, yeah. And David, are you going to be attending the rally this weekend? Are you planning to be there this Saturday at the Yonge and Dundas Square in the Saturday afternoon? Demanding a public inquiry into the G20?
Oh, for sure. I'll definitely be there. The police needs to know that, you know, there's people who got hurt. I mean, regardless of whether they might look different and they might look troublesome. Yeah, the cops look at all kids as being troublesome. But there were actually people who were hurt. You know, I mean, there are black blocks running around the place smashing windows. They didn't actually physically hurt anyone. You know, the only people that I saw being violent there were the police. And I was intimidated from the presence of the police. So, yeah, I'll be at every rally, every march that I can. And I'm going to support this as much as I can because I believe that we are losing our rights. It's a great country. We live in a beautiful country. But we want to keep it that way. We don't want it sliding into some kind of fascist state.
For real, yeah. Speaking the truth. And Derek, do you just want to quickly give us the details before we move on to our next segment for this Saturday?
Yeah, it's April the 2nd at Dundas Square, which is at the Eaton Center, the Dundas subway station. That's the easiest connection to get there. And it's at 3 p.m. And it's on Facebook. So if you want to search it onto Facebook, you can type in Peaceful Rally Calling for a Public Inquiry into G20. And it's just, we're going to be handing out a petition, and we're going to be connecting with the public to get them aware of what happened. Because a lot of people just saw stuff on mainstream media, and they saw the police cruisers being burned and all the windows being broken, but there was more to the story. And that's the message that we want to get out, is that, you know, illegal laws were passed, there were sexual assault threats on women in the jails at the Eastern Avenue Detention Center. There was over 100 officers that weren't accountable because they were not wearing name badges. And there was just so many different things. So many people's rights were violated, illegal searches. People were brutally attacked. There was noses broken, arms broken.
There's a lot of stuff.
Yeah, there's a lot of stuff. And, I mean, we're just trying to bring transparency and accountability back to our police system.
For real. This weekend, yeah, this Saturday, April the 2nd, 3 p.m. at Yonge Dundas Square, 1 Dundas Street in Toronto. And yeah, thanks to David Kahn and thanks to Derek Soberall for speaking with us about the G20, about 3 months away from the 1 year anniversary. And what we're going to do now is just throw it to a audio. This is going to be our Hidden from History to cap off a month of Hidden from History. This is some words with Kevin Annett and Tohoge Tote at, first off, we were speaking a bit near the Museum of William Lyon Mackenzie. It's on Bond Street, and then we walked up a block up to Ryerson. We're speaking right near where there's a statue of Egerton Ryerson, and so you're going to hear some about the history of what was going on in the 1300s, and then talking about current events going on in 2011. Here, or I should say the 1830s, talking about what has been hidden from history, the Upper Canada Rebellion, and more. This is a bit of
Word
that.
Word of Mouth Wednesday. We're here with a guest here that we've been talking about on the radio, or we've been talking with on the radio as well, Kevin Annett, who's in Toronto right now. And we've chosen a historic location here because Kevin Annett's work's been, you know, hidden from history. This is a place, William Mackenzie House, we're right near, that's been, I guess, remembered in history. What are your thoughts, or what do you know anything about William Lyon Mackenzie?
Well, he's a spiritual brother to me and anybody who believes in sovereignty, because he challenged the family compact. That was the church and colonial elite that ran Upper Canada. And actually, they still run Canada. The financial oligarchies, the crown, the churches. And because this revolution was defeated at the time, the church had absolute authority, including to run the residential schools and cause this genocide. So we're standing here, I'm standing here as a spiritual son of William Lyon Mackenzie, saying it's time to carry on the revolution he started. And we're doing that by sharing the Touro Wampum flag, which was the original flag treaty signed between our people and the indigenous nations of this land, saying we will live in equality. And we realize we can't live in equality under the Crown of England. We can't live in equality under this corporate system, which says that the land is owned only by a few. And so we are reclaiming this moment and this space to say we have to make all of Canada sovereign land for all the people who live here. And that's really why I'm here, and this is why we're putting the Crown and the churches on trial for their genocide of Indigenous people. That was an genocide aimed at my people as well, and that's why we have to stand together.
Yeah, and we're here, we're with Kevin Annett, but we're also with Tohoke Tote, who's going to tell us about, some knowledge that he knows about. Well, have you ever heard of William Lyon Mackenzie?
Well, I can't say that I am an expert. Kevin seems to have taught me a little bit. William Lyon Mackenzie King, I've studied. This is the best prime minister that we've had. Guy who wrote the Bank of Canada Act in 1934. And he is quoted in many great democracies as saying, usury, once in control, will destroy any nation. And we're getting destroyed now from it. William Lyon Mackenzie King, this guy's grandson. Grandson?
Yeah, his grandson.
Yep. Go figure, 24 years as the prime minister and kept the bankers from us. Till Trudeau.
For real, yeah, and we're at Mackenzie House, which is on Bond Street, which is actually really close to CKLN Radio, and that's where, you know, I've interviewed both of you guys on the radio. What are your thoughts on the situation, like, in Toronto with community radio and the possibilities, you know, that it could be shut down by the license revoked?
Well, you know, I was at Co-op Radio for 9 years, and they've done the same thing there. The corporate interests now can buy up community radio, and it's the same oligarchy that Mackenzie was fighting. It's this economic oligarchy that thinks that they have the right to control the airwaves. And so we've got to keep public airwaves, we've got to keep CKLN strong and community owned, not owned by corporate interests of the government. And that's one of our mouthpieces, so we have to fight hard to keep that in the hands of the people.
I agree.
For real, yeah. There's been a recent notice that's been sent out to all the members of CKLN with a something about an R, the document was called R&R, and I was hoping it would be, you know, rest and relax, but this is new rules and regulations are coming.
Well, if it's anything like what happened at Vancouver Co-op Radio, they've run in the same thing. 3 years ago, there was a secret deal between the staff at Co-op Radio and Jim Pattison media mogul interests to basically help buy up the station. They never told anybody. They violated their own rules and ethics by not telling anybody about this secret corporate acquisition and funding. And so it sounds like you know, if it's at all like what happened in Vancouver, they bring in rules whereby, for example, the staff can't be criticized anymore. Anything that's said on the air can cause the immediate removal of a program or the cancellation of a program. And it's being organized by the feds in conjunction with corporate media interests.
The corporatocracy.
Yep, corporatocracy.
That's a better word for it.
Right. And what Mackenzie was trying to do, I guess, was to break away from the crown. What are your thoughts on, you know, having Canada as a republic? Because I know, like, Kevin, you know, you had the Republic of Canada was an idea or hope for the future. What are your thoughts on the republic?
We need it. We got to stop this allegiance to false foreign jurisdictional powers that came and imposed themselves without any legitimacy here on the land and on the people here. We need to declare a republic that's federated so that all the different indigenous nations can be...
And independent from England.
Independent from England.
Finally.
And corporate interests.
Finally.
We can federate everybody into a whole union of equal nations, and I think that's what we need to do. One way we do it is yesterday we were right down the street here at all the churches, demanding that they be brought to trial for their murder of kids in residential schools. And that's what we're trying to do in London in September. And we hope that here in Toronto there will be similar actions and forums at the same time, so that the survivors of these schools and others who are being harmed today can come forward and name the names. And we put these people on trial. And we establish common law courts where we can do that. We don't trust the courts of the Crown.
Admiralty courts, all of them.
Forget them all. We got to do what my ancestors did in Ireland, and is set up our own courts under the nose of the British and say, we don't recognize them anymore. We're our own nation now. That's what we need to do here in Canada.
Yeah, all you need to do is follow the two-road wampum to us. That's it.
Two-road wampum.
The two-road wampum. Gushwenta.
For real, yeah. We're speaking with Tohoke Tote and Kevin Annett. And Kevin Annett, I know you're also known as Eagle Strong Voice. I was wondering, how did you get that name?
That was given to me by Chief Louis Daniels in Winnipeg when he adopted me into the Turtle Clan in the Anishinaabe Nation, gave me that name. He said I was to carry that name to my people because I couldn't do the work in his community, he couldn't do the work in mine, but together, walking like the two-row wampum, working in each of our worlds to bring about that sovereignty and justice. So that was an authorization that he gave me to do that work.
And what is going on with your tour in Canada? Because I know, for instance, your most recent press release has to do with your upcoming appearance in Hamilton. What's the story with that?
Well, what just happened was the Hamilton police notified the organizers of the Mohawk College that they were going to send an undercover police operative in to monitor what I said. And, you know, let's be clear, and that happens all the time, but the fact that they were notifying them was clear intimidation. And so I wrote to this policeman and said, we're telling the world about this, and we want to put you on notice that we consider this an attempt to obstruct our investigation at the behest of your employers, the Crown of England and the Government of Canada. So people want to follow more of that. It's hiddenfromhistory.org.
And what's your site?
Dahoget.de.ws.
All right, Word Up, Hidden From History continues. We're right here at Ryerson Campus now. We've got another person that's remembered in history, Egerton Ryerson. He's got a statue here. We've got a whole university named after him. And we've got Kevin Annett of Hidden From History here. Kevin Annett, have you heard about Egerton Ryerson?
He initially was an ally of William Lyon Mackenzie, but then he cut off ties with him and broke ranks and started to denounce him because he was critical of the church. And Ryerson was a big Methodist church preacher and official. And he eventually established the plan. He had a plan to educate the Indians. And he established the original plan for the Indian residential schools in Ontario. So this is a guy who had the master plan for how to assimilate, which is a polite way of saying wipe out, Indigenous culture. And to name a university after, I think, is quite ridiculous. And I think we should rename the university according to someone from the Indigenous nations, one of our heroes, and not one of the establishments.
Thanks a lot, Kevin, for getting the information out that you've been getting out. What is your thoughts on universities, and how has your work been taken at the universities around Canada?
Well, universities are big corporations. They're like churches. But within it, there's a lot of... actually, I get the best response from high school and college students. A lot of groundswell of discontent and rebellion these days in universities all over the world that I go, but especially Canada. And I'm really hopeful every time I come to a place like this that students can use the time they have to do the research and the organizing and the other stuff that's needed for our movement. So thank you all.
Yeah, thanks a lot. Kevin Annett, check out the work, hiddenfromhistory.org, hiddennolonger.com. Word up. Word out.
Word up. That was a bit of the controversial words of Kevin Annett. Always controversial when Kevin Annett's around. And I also want to thank Tohoke Tote for helping out with that segment. So I learned a lot from Kevin Annett when he was down in Toronto. I saw him on Saturday. He was at OISE on Sunday. He was all around some different churches with some actions with the friends and relatives of the disappeared. So Gary and Carrie were both, who we had on a couple weeks ago, were both out. And some more people, you know, just trying to get the word out. Tohoke Tote also came down on Sunday, and then we saw him on Monday. That was when that clip you just heard was recorded on Monday. And Kevin Annett has been on the move. You know, last week he was in Ottawa, and now he's going to be in Hamilton. And we got to recommend, this is what I'm going to recommend, is to check out the work of Kevin Annett at hiddennolonger.com. That's where you can download the evidence of the genocide in Canada. And then Kevin Annett has been, he's been talking a lot about and planning on what's going to be happening in September with the International Tribunal into the Crimes of the Church and State, ITCCS.org. And this International Tribunal that's going to be set up is going to try to be exposing what has been hidden from history and who the perpetrators or the culprits were. What I'd also recommend, and you can check out the video as well that we made, and I posted it yesterday with Kevin Annett and Tohoge Tote. And that's on my YouTube channel, which is youtube.com/supportlocalscene. And then also, you can check out the research of, if you heard about the Edgerton Ryerson, we were near a statue, but while Kevin was talking there, he talked a bit about what happened in 1837 and this big split that Mackenzie had with Ryerson, and Ryerson in the history books is known as the Reformist, and Mackenzie, who was actually the first mayor of the city of Toronto, was known as a radical for what he was trying to do in 1837. An interesting book, and you can find this actually on Google Books, and I put the link in if you go to the YouTube video. The YouTube video is the Hidden from History, Upper Canada Rebellion, 1837. You can find the link to this Google book and download it in a PDF, and it's written by Edgerton Ryerson in the 1800s, talking about the affairs of the Canadas in a series of letters. And Edgerton and Ryerson refers to himself throughout the work as a Canadian. He doesn't even sign it with his own name. He just refers to himself as a Canadian. And he's basically informing the monarchical government of Great Britain on what was happening in Upper and Lower Canada. So this was the information. This was the intelligence reports that the monarchy was getting. And it was coming from Ryerson. And that is an interesting read. I put the link up there. Because, you know, it's downloadable, I guess. That's what you could say. And, well, what we're doing here is just wrapping up here for the Word of Mouth Wednesday for another week, and it has been the last episode of March of 2011 for Word of Mouth Wednesday. And this month, we got to give a big shout-out to everyone hidden from history and the work of Kevin Annett, because we've either had Kevin Annett on or been talking about his big tour that took place in Toronto, and I'm hoping to get some more clips up online, so look out for those in the future. Now, what I also wanted to mention, and just in case you didn't catch all the info, the Into the Fire, the new movie from Press for Truth on the G20, there are still some tickets available if you go to pressfortruth.ca, or you can go in person to the store, Conspiracy Culture, which is on Queen Street near Ronsonsvelles, to get tickets. And if there are tickets left at the door, the Bloor, I guess you could try to get them when it happens. But it's still, you know, April 22nd, still a few weeks away. So I guess you don't want to wait if you want to be there for the premiere. I think the very next day, hopefully the whole movie is going to be released online for everyone on YouTube. And the word will get out, Into the Fire, what happened at the G20. But I also want to mention a few events here. Coming up on Friday, April the 1st, at Nathan Phillips Square, 12 p.m. noon, United We Eat, Divided We Starve, OCAP rally to raise the rates mobilization, march on the McGuinty government, taking place on April 1st, Friday at noon. And coming up on Friday, April 1st at 7 p.m., Toronto Socialist Action presents the Rebel film series Gasland. It's a documentary, 107 minutes, talking about the United States and natural gas drilling. Clayton Thomas Mueller will be speaking after the film, and the discussion will be led by Julius R. Scott. And also on Saturday, April the 2nd, 3 p.m., peaceful rally calling for a full public inquiry into the police actions of the G20 at Yonge Dundas Square, 1 Dundas, so check that out. This Saturday, April 2nd, 3 p.m., peaceful rally calling for a full public inquiry into the police actions of the G20 at Yonge Dundas Square, 3 p.m. this Saturday. Shout-outs to Derek Soberall, shout-outs to David Kahn, and shout-outs to everyone that's been supporting CKLN, and thanks a lot for listening tonight. Word up! word of mouth, word is bond. Stay tuned for the Blues Dr. Julie Hill with the Blue Remedy coming up next. Word out.